Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy, happy Wednesday, which, you know, in our world, we call Worldview Wednesday. Really excited about today's episode. I'm excited about today's guest, which we're going to talk to here in a moment, but it's DJ the Money Coach, and we have so much to talk about today. But as we jump in, as a reminder, everyone, I am Dr. J.C. Baker, the owner of the only business hospital in the world, and my job is to make sure that businesses are healthy and that they're operating at their best efficiency. That's all types of businesses, from the mom and pop shop to the startup founder, all the way to conglomerates and Fortune 100s. Our job is to make sure not only that our economy works well, but that you individually benefit by what your company is doing and make sure that you're running for the long term and the long haul. So everybody, you know, we've talked, you know, first couple of days, we talked about law, we talked about technology, and well, today we're going to look at how does the world impact us here domestically, and then how do we participate and make good sense of things that are happening overseas, even though we may just be here. I know that for a lot of business owners, learning what to do in your individual market may be tough enough, maybe how to operate inside your community may be difficult, but I submit to you that things that are going on around the world impact you maybe as significantly, if not more, than things that are happening right around the corner. And I'll explain that in a host of ways. We've been able to see the devastation that's been going on with the war between Russia and Ukraine. And as much as many of us that's never been to Russia and has never been to Ukraine, I guarantee when you pull up the Shell gas station or you pull up to Marathon, you have felt the impact of what that war has had to do on us. And in that case, it would behoove you as a business owner to know what's going on overseas as you go to make decisions and pivot your business for the purposes of sustainability. If you have a product and your supply chain isn't underneath your control, meaning that you don't own all the assets that make up your supply chain, then you know that our relationships with China, our relationship with India become really important, and how we go about doing that. And what's always, you know, kind of confused me is how frequently business owners avoid conversations such as politics. You know, you'll meet someone and they'll say, well, I don't want to talk about religion and I don't want to talk about politics. And I'm saying, well, maybe you don't want to talk about spiritual matters, but you have to at least talk politics, because that's where decisions are made on a grand scale. Our elected officials are voting and making decisions on our behalf. It has a lot to do with our foreign interests and our international policies that govern how we do business every day. You know, when we think about wealth itself, the wealthiest man in the world, Elon Musk, who we all are now familiar with, is an immigrant himself. You know, you're talking about a person that has a global view of what the world looks like, and then his decisions then impress on us. He just made a statement not even a week ago saying that if you're going to work for Tesla, you're going to show up in the office 40 hours a week. Well, it wasn't 24 hours later before top executives around our nation were echoing the same sentiments. Now, they may have already thought it, but because he came out and stated it, they felt more comfortable by saying it and essentially making it law for their corporations. So the point of Worldview Wednesday is to take things that are happening in our current events and bring them to you in a way that helps you see your business in a light that maybe you haven't seen it before. And so I'm really excited to bring this edition to you. I want to pause now and go ahead and bring in our guest, DJ the Money Coach, who is one of the smartest people I know, but not so much from the intellect. He brings this social intellect at a level that is really rare. I've been in sales at a high level since 1994. And what I can tell you is that from a drive standpoint, a humanistic standpoint, a connectivity standpoint, an affinity standpoint, his emotional quotient and intellect in these spaces are about as high as I've ever seen. And that allows him to connect money matters to the heart of people in a way that allows you to understand it, apply it, and gain from it. So without further ado, welcome to the show, DJ the Money Coach.
Well, Dr. Baker, I really appreciate having the chance to get on your amazing platform, and I appreciate having the chance to speak to your amazing audience. So, those accolades and those statements that you made about me, I take it as a privilege and an honor, and hopefully I can serve your audience as well as you say I can.
It's fantastic, and I know that you will, especially when we dive into the material. And while we're talking about the audience, for those that are listening or live streaming, you can call in at any time at 859-291-2255. And once again, that number is 859-291-2255. And that's if you have questions, if your business needs assistance, we will treat your business live on air. Please give us a call. We are certainly here to help you and provide our expert advice to whatever ailment you may have. So, DJ the Money Coach, since we're talking Worldview Wednesday today, I just want to jump right out the box, and I want to talk about what international work have you done. My audience has heard that I've done business now in 14 countries. I have not told them all of what I've done in those countries. That's going to come out over time. But you know the purpose of international business. So let's talk a little bit about some of your international work and what you're working on right now.
Oh, absolutely. You know, what I'm so excited about, Dr. Baker, and for your audience and for our community is the motherland, you know, Africa. So I actually have had the pleasure of traveling over to Zanzibar, which is in Tanzania, which is on the southeast coast of Africa. It sits right on the Indian Ocean. And I actually had the pleasure of actually making a trip to Zanzibar in February and March of this year. And unbeknownst to a lot of people out there, there's nothing bad about Zanzibar. It's actually a beautiful exotic peninsula, and it has no traces. While I was there, I can only speak for myself, Dr. Baker, about, you know, COVID, and it was amazing. So first thing I would tell people is to, you know, pay attention to the CDC, you know, pay attention to, you know, the medical reports that are putting out, you know, information, the proper information and not misinformation. And actually, I would encourage your listeners to, if they want to know as best possible about international Africa, they should pick up this book called Africa Rising. And Africa Rising is by a PhD named Vijay, V-I-J-A-Y, Malajan, M-A-H-A-J-A-N. And in this book, Dr. Baker, he does a case study about the 900 million African consumers that offer more than you think. And while I was in Tanzania and in Zanzibar, actually this book was written back in 2011. And when I saw everything that I saw with my own eyes while I was over there, about 70% of the stuff that I read in the book after I got it, after I came back to the United States, I had already seen it materialize in the future. And that got me extremely excited, so much so, Dr. Baker, that we actually bought an actual resort in Zanzibar.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, when people think about going to amusement parks, they want to go to the Bahamas, they want to go to Vegas. They think about resorts, and what you're telling me is you went over to Africa, fell in love with the area, and said, let's just buy a resort. That literally happens, what you're telling me.
That's literally what happens, Dr. Baker. You're absolutely right, because I believe that you should own and have equity in everything that you do, and I believe that you should actually be able to start right at the core of civilization, which is Africa. So when I went over there, and I had a great time and explored the beautiful continent and shared the hospitality of the people. And I saw that based on Africa Rising, how much great opportunity there was. I said, this is the best opportunity, hidden gem that I would ever find. So I decided to invest. And in the process of doing that, we started opening up lanes for people here in America to actually have pathways to Zanzibar. And we actually provide them with a trip to go to Zanzibar to teach them about the economy, teach them about the hospitality of the people, and teach them about the beauty of Africa in and of itself. Because what a lot of people don't know, Dr. Baker, is that literally 5 hours north of actual Zanzibar is the Serengeti. And a couple hours just north of that is Mount Kilimanjaro.
So, well, see, I would say one thing. They wouldn't know the Serengeti is there, and they wouldn't know the Kilimanjaro is there, because we couldn't tell you where North and South Dakota is here. So let alone whatever's going on there. So in this reality, what I hear people talk about a lot is, I want to invest in real estate. So they might talk about single-family residence. They might talk about a duplex. They might even talk about an apartment building. I promise you, as an international business doctor, and I've done business literally in every state of this, of the great continental United States of America, I have not heard of a person say, you know what, I'm going to buy a resort. Now, I know a few people that own resorts, but they family have owned them for decades to centuries now, but I haven't heard a person that's not traditionally trained or have been raised in a family that has owned resorts say, you know what, I'm going to own a resort. So talk to me a little bit more about that thinking, and I want to qualify my question. You talked about owning everything around you. That's one aspect. But people don't own resorts, and they don't own phone towers, and they don't own hospitals. That's not something that people talk about owning. Why did you make your mind to think, you know what, I'm going to own a resort?
Well, you know, first thing is that I travel a lot, just like you. I'm a world traveler. I think I've been on 3-4 continents. And the first thing I always think about when I make these travels is, where am I going to stay? And generally it's, you know, a 5-star, you know, locale, because it's probably a bucket trip for me. So I never had the opportunity to even think about owning the resorts until I stumbled upon, you know, Zanzibar. And recently, as 2017, I was down in Tulum, right between Cancun and Playa del Carmen in Mexico, and there was this beautiful resort that was just erected called Hotel Escaray. And I actually went there for my birthday as a VIP member, and it had just opened up. I went back the following year. It was such a great stay, I stayed again. And so I had met the chief operating officer of that establishment, and I asked him, I said, hey, man, I would like to invest in this resort because I know this is a winner. And the gentleman said, man, even if you had several millions of dollars, you couldn't invest because we don't invest with foreign investors, and this is a private equity situation with the government. So I remembered that, and I said, man, you know what? If I ever get an opportunity to land, you know, equity in a beautiful place like this position, I'm going to seize that opportunity. And sure enough, last year, to make a long story short, I was traveling on the book tour with the launch of my new book, The ABCs of Wealth, last year, and the Common Sense Strategy of Building American Dream. One of my partners named Erica, we talked about some bucket list trips, and I found out that my family is from Cape Verde. My family goes all the way back to our lineage to Cape Verde, which is not far from Zanzibar. So she calls me up, Doc, and about December 27th of 2021, and she said, hey, I'm taking a bucket list trip we talked about last August, and I want you to go with me. And I said, okay. I said, where are we going? We're going to Cape Verde? She said, no, we're going to Zanzibar, which was the other place she talked about. So I immediately, she sent me a link, and I paid for a down payment, which was non-refundable. And then I was so excited, Doc, that I called my sister, because we talked about taking these trips. I said, hey, you want to go on this trip with me? And she said, you know what? Our good family friend of 20 years, he's actually in Zanzibar right now as we speak. So I get on WhatsApp, and I connect with him, and he tells me he's in Zanzibar, shows me video and everything. And then he says, hey, man, guess what? They just changed the laws here in Zanzibar, and you can actually buy property in real estate. And I said, no kidding. He said, yeah, man, I'll get you half the price to come over here, and then you can look at kicking the tires on a unit or two. So I initially was going to buy a couple of condos, Doc, and then I saw the big picture of the resort, and I said, why not buy a couple of condos? Why not I buy the whole resort, or at least a portion of ownership in it? And then I just met the owner, and I brokered a deal with him, and everything went in place right there, brother.
Well, I think that's fantastic. I mean, you named a host of factors from a business reality that is vital and paramount for the listeners to understand. Number one is that there was an opportunity there and you were willing to take the opportunity. And I would imagine, although we don't have the entire story, but that you weighed out what those risks might be, but you were prepared at the time to take advantage of the opportunity. I would also say, and this is going back to a conversation I had with one of my attorneys yesterday, we were talking about the differences in cultures. And one culture that we spoke of was the Jewish culture and how they go about doing business. And one component is their appreciation of tradition. So they will actually research their lineage and they attribute things back to their lineage. And so in their current status of living, they live for the long term. Now, I know that I'm speaking in generalities. I know that I'm stereotyping, but trust me, it holds true that Jewish families on average, will say we need to do this for the long term for the sake of everyone. And you just mentioned that my family dates back to Cape Verde. Well, you looked at your heritage and said, how do I now benefit and understand who I am and then engage in that while making a purchase or an investment, if you will, for the long term of your family? And so it's the recipe of how to build wealth, which once again, you're DJ the Money Coach. You understand wealth building at a premium level. But in this particular instance, you saw something international, but it fit all of the principles that we live by every day if you understand wealth. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And most importantly, I looked at it as a legacy investment for my children's children's children, and somewhere that we could always get back to the motherland, and we can actually do a complete 360 from the origin of Cape Verde all the way back through my vessel, through my children's vessel, and now they have something to raise their game and think like the Chinese do. Chinese plan for hundreds of years in advance. And one thing that I've learned through my travels as an international traveler and as a business person is actually to plan 50, 100 years out, because the present has already been predicted based on the last 50 to 100 years. Even though you may not know it, you already plan a role in somebody else's plan. Instead of me playing a role in somebody else's plan, Doc Baker, I play a role in my own plan and my own lineage and my own legacy.
And well, I think what's wrong about that point, and I really, really, really need to jump in there, is when I'm talking to business owners, in many cases, this conversation is about micro, boutique, mom and pop startup founders, those particular groups of business owners, is that they are looking for the immediate success of things. And that comes out of a position of desperation and a lack of vision. What we're talking about is understanding the parameters of what you're engaged in, what are the seeds you're going to plant in order to have a harvest that reaps for literally centuries if you do it appropriately. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. That is absolutely correct. And you look at it from a standpoint, one of the advantages of being in Africa on the international front is just the leverage of the currency. For one thing, one U.S. dollar is equivalent to 2,300 of their dollars.
I mean, wait, let's go back to that. Let's talk about that again. Say it again.
One U.S. dollar is equivalent to 2,300 of their dollars.
So let's stop right there for a moment. Now, I've been overseas. I don't know how much of my listeners have taken the time to go overseas outside of a destination point, which once again is at a resort. But if you go actually into the country, our dollars or the value of our dollar is significant in some of these places. And you talk about building wealth. There are definitely ways and places that you can put your money into that'll generate you wealth faster than in many cases you can here domestically. Am I right in that?
Absolutely. And I mean, that's a 2,300 to one leverage point for you. So just off the strength of that alone, so this resort, for instance, this resort is probably valued at about $60 million, Dr. Baker. But that same resort, if it's set in the Hamptons, if it's set in South Beach, if it's set in Sausalito Island, which is right outside of San Francisco Bay, it would be like $600 to $700 million.
Right, and that's not an exaggeration. I learned the rule of that firsthand. I went to Africa in 2000, and I spent 10 days over there, and I went to two different countries. And there were items that, and I went on some missionary work, I went on some athletic work, but when I was there, I was more or less a tourist. And so as I was going, and I went and I looked, and I said, well, I'm going to buy some items, take it back to my family. Well, that one item that I got over there literally for pennies was $800-$900 here. And it was, man, what is the difference? Well, we know the difference. It's the logistics of it. It's the commercialization of it. It's the retail market. It's the mentality of retail here in the United States as opposed to places overseas. So as a business owner, you have to look at, well, what is the international market in comparison to my domestic market? And then what does that mean for me? And is there a way for me to play in some of these other places that is legitimately a benefit for me and my long-term growth? And you're just highlighting some of those points.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And if you look around at some of the products and services that you already utilize in the United States, they're made in Tanzania. A lot of products in the sports world that are made in Tanzania. I have a couple of boxes in my office and then also in my gym that said made in Tanzania, and it never dawned on me until after I made the trip to Tanzania. And now
You know how many people can identify with that? Made in Tanzania. Let me tell you a funny story. I'm going to tell the world a funny story that I ran into, and I could not have looked dumber in this meeting. I just want you to know I was probably by far the most stupid person in the room, and this was not that long ago. I happened to be in a meeting. It was a closed investment meeting with dignitaries from China. This was probably three, four years ago. And in there, I was unaware of all the players and the participants. I was only allowed to be in the room because of one of my products that they were interested in seeing, and which we'll talk about at the station identification. But in this case, I'm trying to figure out who is who. Well, one is the director of China, and so his footprint, if you will, was massive. He's essentially the president of all things recreation and sport-wise over in China. So if you take our commissioner of the NBA, the NFL, the NCAA, Major League Baseball, you wrap all of those different bosses into one, that's him. So that was impressive enough. However, DJ the Money Coach, check this out. Made in China was there. That messed me up that it was made in China. So the whole time, when you see something that says made in China, it's not that it was actually made in China. 85% of what's made in China comes from one company.
Wow.
And they were there. I met them, saw them, worked with them. And you talk about a difference of what business looks like. And so now we're going to have listeners looking at the bottom of their chairs, looking at the bottom of their couches, and other daily goods, figuring out where are these items made, which is why it's important when we see something that's been made in the USA, what does that mean for our gross domestic product? What does that mean for our economy? What does that mean for our businesses? But in these other countries, they are massive players, and made in over in Africa or made in Tanzania is vital because they are making a lot of the products that we use here every day.
Yep. And again, you got 2,300 shillings, which is what it's called, a Tanzanian shilling, to every U.S. dollar. So, I mean, we literally over there looking at from transportation standpoint, from ancillary services in the resort industry, there's no way I could find the ability to actually buy a resort, like you said, because most of the time you got to come from the Hiltons, the Marriotts, the Rockefellers. Those are the type of people who are able to buy resorts in the Wynns because they're multi-billion dollar transactions, but I was able to go on a flight for 25 hours and land into the motherland, and because I have American capital and I have access to capital, I'm able to strike a deal that the average person is not, just because of my access to the relationship. And that's one of the most important things that we don't understand about international business, is that there has to be relationships facilitated first. So we already had ground and feet on the ground in Tanzania through my sphere of my family business. And then we actually were able to solidify that because of the business that I've done successfully in North America and Canada and some parts of Mexico, to show that I had the acumen to actually pull off the actual investment to carry it to fruition, because anybody could have came up with the dollars, Dr. Baker, but can you prove that you can actually bring the manpower, the emotional quotient, the financial know-it-all, and actually the understanding of how master developments are actually completed? So we had a resume, Dr. Baker, that we can actually show these developers that we've successfully built master communities in the United States that elevated their respect for us. And then also we're students of business. So we're able to meet on the same playing field with the CEO of the development company, and we're able to share some stuff with them that they didn't know about in terms of HOAs. So that made us in position to be partners and not just investors, Dr. Baker. And I'm going to emphasize that. Your people should be more interested in partnerships and not just pure investors or consumers, because the partnership is actually better of a long-term relationship that adds value not only to the community, to the industry, but also to your whole collective. And that's one of the ways that we got to start looking at things. Look at it locally, but go globally. And that's
what. Well, you talk about the relationship part of it, and I want to speak to that directly. My listeners don't know this, but they know now that I will also be going over to Zanzibar to take a look at these resorts to see what my participation may be, as you and I are flying over there together in August. And I only say that because our relationship is what's driven my participation to be able to go and have a part of this. But what does that mean? Well, it's not just about the dollars either. I have an expertise that allows us to not just put dollars into the project, but also unique, innovative, or even traditional and standard ways of doing business that enhances our opportunities for success. Is that right?
Absolutely correct. And I mean, it's so funny you said that, because on a sliver of how we met a few years ago was based on the strength of a 12, 13-year relationship based on solid business principles that led to us being, you know, friends and then doing some things together. And now you come 180, and now we're both hopping on a plane together and going August 21st to August 30th to Zanzibar on a business vacation. And unfortunately, but fortunately for us, we get to leverage the tax laws and get to take advantage of it and write off it legitimately, because you are a potential, you know, partner with us in this enterprise, as well as your audience could be. And that's the beauty of it from an international.
Well, we're talking about the beauty of it. I actually want to talk a little bit about that, and I want to actually get deep for the benefit of my listeners. But first, we're going to take a break. This segment today is brought to you by, once again, Pro Elite Training. I'm going to keep telling you guys, download Pro Elite Training, get it on your app store, get it at the Google store, or go to the website, getproelite.com. Pro Elite is the word pro and the word elite, but it's one word. Pro Elite Training, train with NBA athletes, train with NFL athletes, train with MMA fighters. Be able to get your skill set to the next level, whether you are a child or you're an adult looking to increase your functional movement or to make a team. Train to our proprietary software of music and pro athletes. We have a freemium model, so you can do hundreds of drills that won't cost you anything. Download Pro Elite Training. So I want to get back, DJ the Money Coach, back to the trip and the business vacation, you call it. I actually want to help people understand how this world works in a way that many may not. So when you talk about a trip to Africa, a lot of times we're thinking about, well, what does it cost you? Who's footing the bill? When will I have time to do so? But you talked about understanding our economic laws and how to structure things in the appropriate way to where you benefit. I submit to you that not only do we have a really good plan that was put together, number one, by you and your team, that allowed for us to come over and participate in this, but even on my own, because of how I'm structured, my cost will be negligible. It'll cost me the same amount to get to this trip in real dollars, just as it would for me to go to the local amusement park, Kings Island or Cedar Point in Ohio. And that's because of write-offs, that's because of member points, that's because of transference of rewards, on and on and on, that by the time you minimize and deduce what you paid, because you have a legitimate business, because you're doing things frequently, because of how tax laws are written, you're able to actually gain benefits from travel such as these.
Man, you hit the hammer on the nail, Dr. Baker, and this is what I always teach people in business, is that, number one, know the proper entity structure that you should have as a business. And unfortunately, sometimes, Dr. Baker, people by default, they automatically assume that an LLC is the only business that exists. But there's actually 8 different entities that are recognized under the IRS code for business structures. So for this particular business endeavor, just like you stated, I'm actually going for basically what it would take for me to fly from Houston to Detroit. That's the funny part of it, because, again, like you said, with rewards, miles, and actual legitimate, you know, tax write-offs through what's called CAFE Rule 125, which is basically a code for fringe benefits and incentives for corporations to give to employees and contractors, I'm able to access those laws and actually pretty much hit my trip for absolutely free. And the same thing can happen for people that travel with us, because first, I'm going over there as an owner. You're going over there as a potential owner. So there's certain types of customary expenses that you allotted to get tax write-offs. Now, let me mind and say this for the record. I am not a tax attorney. I am not a CPA. So everybody's listening out here in the audience, they should first and foremost consult with a certified public accountant or a tax attorney and what structure is the proper one if they're interested in actually not only doing a bucket list trip, but also endeavoring and looking at the opportunity to invest in this luxurious resort called Zanzibar, and it's actually called The Soul at Pajé Beach, and it's owned by 10% of our enterprise, and it's a 230 unit luxury condominium resort that has a man-made blue lagoon, just like back in the day with Brooks Shields. I'm dating myself with the movie Blue Lagoon. Or if you ever saw the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks and Fiji, which I've been to Fiji as well. So it's got a man-made, beautiful white sand, blue lagoon beach, just like at Mandalay Bay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a group of 20 business investors over to Zanzibar to actually look at the foundation that's being laid. It's called Paje Beach at the Soul, and show them how they can actually be investors in the actual resort, just like buying a part of the Strip on Vegas, just like buying a part of Disney, just like buying, you know, a stretch of the Hotel Iscaret.
Making them inadequate and deficient in how they operate their business. Experts exist for a reason, and that's to help you with things that you do not know. So if you own a barbershop, you may not be an expert in tax law. However, there may be some things that you want to engage in. You may want to diversify your operations or your portfolio. You know, there's terms now, DJ the Money Coach, where people are saying, I want multiple streams of income. I laugh at that because I say, you don't want multiple streams of income. You're just creating multiple jobs for yourself. You don't have the right structure for real income. And so in that case, it's, well, how do I get multiple streams of legitimate revenue? Is by having experts help you understand different realities that were built and constructed for you to obtain wealth. You know, the poorest person in our nation, in many cases, that, and I'm saying poorest from a working standpoint, is a salesperson or a business owner. Consequently, the wealthiest people are also salespeople and business people. And you say, well, how is that spectrum like that, and is it balanced? The reality is 85% of our workforce in the United States of America work for a small business or is a small business owner. That is an actual fact. But in that case, how many of us take advantage of these tax laws that you mentioned? And the reality is not many, because we don't seek out the appropriate professional guidance that's needed to help us see a world in a way that was written and was built for us to execute inside of. What we do is we get angry at the fact that someone else then leveraged it and we didn't, and we don't understand how they did. So what you're talking about right now, DJ the Money Coach, could not be more spot on as it relates to, don't take DJ the Money Coach's word for how simple it is to do business overseas and be able to get that money back to you in the form of all types of credits and write-offs. Just make sure that you have some people in your corner that understand these laws and can help you navigate them so that you can participate at a higher level. And you would be shocked at what may open up to you in the event that you've been made aware. And that's why it's our job on Doctor's Orders, is to expose you to things that you may be unaware of. So thanks for that tidbit there. Talk to me a little bit about how this international play works inside of what I'm going to call your portfolio of wealth building, because you teach wealth building classes, and we are going to have you on our Financial Friday segment. And so not to deviate too much into that, but just talk to me about how the international portion of things fits inside of your portfolio.
Well, you know, that's a great question, Dr. Baker. And here's what I always chuckle at when people tell me, hey, I don't do any international investing. I say, okay, let me ask you a question. Do you have a 401k? Do you have a 403b? Do you have a mutual fund? And 9 out of 10 times, Dr. Baker, they say yes. I said, do you realize that inside of that 401k, that 403b, and that mutual fund, you actually have international stocks and funds? You may not know because you're not really studying and looking at it, but in all actuality, you do. So how does this relate to this actual, you know, investment? Number one, first thing you need to do is be assessed and know what type of legal investor you are. So I don't care if you got $1 million, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're an accredited investor. So in order to know what the investment categories are, one, an accredited investor, as you and I both know, Dr. Baker, is somebody that has a liquidable assets of $2 million outside of their home and their car, and they've made $200,000 legally through tax returns for 3 consecutive years. Second, there's 5 categories underneath that that 90% of Americans fall in. There's called a conservative, an income, a growth, and a moderate and aggressive investor. So first thing we do, Dr. Baker, is give you an assessment to find out if you're going to be doing investing with institutions or registered investment advisors, where you are in that for the Security Exchange Commission. So once you figure that out, then we what liquidable assets you can afford to invest, just like you invest in a 401k, a 403b, or a mutual fund that you can afford to invest that if something were to happen, it wouldn't affect your regular lifestyle in any capacity. So once we do that, let's say, for instance, $5,000, and you have the ability to invest that. If you lost it, you wouldn't lose your house, your car, or anything. We now can take that investment, Dr. Baker, then show you a corporate structure as an investor, which lines up with your tax accountant or your tax attorney to actually show you a feasibility plan. Once we do that, then we show you the returns that this resort would yield for you. And here's what I want to share with your audience. Here's why resorts work in general and they're recession-proof outside of the pandemic, which was an aberration, right? So most major resorts resolve around a major festivity. So if you think about taking a family of four, age 0 to 12 with two parents, what's the first destination that you think about that people try to go to in America?
You said, what do you think the average...
So the average family of four that have children between age 0 to 12 with two adults, what's the number one destination that parents want to take their kids
to? Disney World.
Disney World, exactly. And that revolves around summer vacation and winter vacation because they go have that experience with Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and there's four different Disney Worlds. There's Disneyland, Disney World, Euro Disney, and Italia Disney. And this has been around for 7-plus decades. So that's a festival that happens every year that we plan around to go have that middle-class experience, right? So that makes it a plan that people put in place 6-12 months in advance to go. So during peak season, Dr. Baker, those places are filled to capacity, right? So your next destination, where do adults go where they say what stays in blank stays in blank?
Well, right, we know that's Vegas.
In Vegas. So guess what? Vegas, major events, sporting events, bachelor parties, just boy nights out, girls nights out. And that's an annual event that people spend money on and plan a year, 6 months in advance, so it's recession-proof, right? And then you have an event called Mardi Gras that happens around Easter and Ash Wednesday that people come to New Orleans. And within a five-mile radius, people plan a year in advance to get tickets to stay in the French Quarter, and every hotel, every restaurant is filled to capacity, and they charge peak prices. And then the last one is Cancun, Cabo, Florida for spring breakers, which the college students generally go to. And again, that's around a major festival. So guess what we have in Zanzibar? We have a season called Kite Season, K-I-T-E. It's actually a festival for 6 months that they have these big old windsurfing kites and people hop on surfboards and they do acrobatic, you know, events and they go through the water and the people from the UAE, the people from Cannes, the people from Europe, the people from America come down to Zanzibar from January to the end of June during kite season, and the whole beach is packed. So that festival drives the investment into the luxury resort in Zanzibar, which made it a no-brainer for me, Dr. Baker, which make it a no-brainer for your audience if they saw the wisdom to say, let me just find out if that might be something that meets my assessment as what type of legal investor I am. And then let me see if I have some extra money that if I were able to risk it and if I lost it, because we can't guarantee you any return on your investment, let me make that clear, that it wouldn't affect my lifestyle. But if it worked like these other major resorts and destinations, it will be recession-proof, and I can actually have revenue and passive streams of income for the rest of my life and for my children's children's children. That's how simple it is, Dr. Baker.
Well, I think you highlighted a host of things that demonstrate the point of Worldview Wednesday is how what's going on in Zanzibar mimics what goes on in Orlando, Florida, what mimics what goes on in Brazil, what mimics what goes on in Toronto, Canada, is that you have festivities that people are willing to plan and pay exuberant amounts of money for. When I say exuberant, we all know it. Things have changed a lot with our age. We know that it used to take, you know, real savings to get to Disney World, you know, when we were growing up. You know, somebody went to Disney World, that was massive. People are going to, you know, people are going to Disney World now every year. But what they're doing in this instance is that, yes, they're coming up with $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 to take this trip. Well, that's not just a phenomenon here. People are traveling globally. But what does that mean? Well, that changes what it looks like for apparel. It changes what it looks like for retail gifts. It changes what it looks like for restaurants. And so there's an ecosystem of business that happens internationally that we all still benefit from. You know, one thing that I think is laughable, and please make sure that I'm on the right track when I say this, but like Cinco de Mayo is hilarious to me. Because we fully celebrate it here. No one can tell you what the heck it is. And it's like, it's not even, right. You're like, what is that? They don't care. But there is a full business model around Cinco de Mayo.
A multi-billion dollar business.
Right. And that, this is what international business looks like. But guess what? If I have a mom and pop shop and Cinco de Mayo is going on, I can benefit from that. If I have a restaurant, if I have a food truck, if I sell crystals and beads, it doesn't matter, let alone the larger companies. If you think that Corona doesn't benefit from Cinco de Mayo, if you think that Procter & Gamble doesn't benefit from Cinco de Mayo, you're wrong. So in these instances, everyone benefits from international awareness. And that's essentially what we're talking about here when it comes to what are we doing with the sliver of work that we're connected to with international business. You mentioned something earlier when you were talking about being an investor. One thing that I want business owners to know, and I tell them regularly when I'm providing treatment, is that you opening a business or you running a business, inheriting a business, however it looks or however you come across it, is an investment. It's an investment of all things, from your energy to your time to every resource that you have attached to you. So what does that then mean? Is that the parameters for one investment are the parameters for all investment. What do you stand to make? What do you stand to lose? And what will it take in order to execute it? You're looking at those parameters every single time. If I were to make this a sport analogy, and let's call it football, it's your ability to block and tackle. Like, that's it. Now, what offense you run might look different, but if you don't block and you don't tackle, it won't matter. And so understanding just the basic principle of even your own business and what you have to invest and how you diversify that, this is to open your mind on what happens globally. You know, I'm going to switch topics slightly, but for the point of hammering home the analogy, is that cryptocurrency is international. That's what makes it appealing to people, is that there's a deregulated currency that everyone at some level recognizes that we can all participate in a way that we can leverage and benefit. However, there's still a risk that's involved with that. Am I right in saying that?
That's absolutely correct.
And right. So in this instance, because of that, is that how do you look at money? How do you look at your business? How do you look at international affairs? So even if you're out there listening and you think your business isn't large enough to pay attention to international realities, that's not necessarily true. Let's say, for an example, that you've got money sitting in an account, and let's call it just a basic money market account. But you've got enough in there that you're holding as a rainy day, if you will, but it's too much to be a rainy day, but you probably aren't using it in the market to your advantage in a way to where you're leveraging it to where it's growing you legitimate dividends. Well, what if there was an investment you could do that would passively allow you to progress, but you're getting 2,300 times the amount on your dollar in another country, and all you had to do was understand the benefit of it through experts that you trusted? That would be a smart decision to make. Are you following my logic on that, DJ the Money Coach, or am I nuts?
Oh, no, you're absolutely head on, Dr. Baker, and I hope that your audience caught that, because you don't know how many people I come across that have money sitting in large sums in money market accounts that are making less than 0.5% interest, and because they don't know velocity of cash, their money is just devaluing day by day by day with this hyperinflation. So that same person could actually take a little small portion, call it $2,000, $3,000, maybe $5,000, and attach it to a collateralized investment, which collateralized means, ladies and gentlemen, that it actually is a tangible asset that you can actually exchange for money if you were to not have the money make money for you. So in most cases, your money is sitting there being devalued, and it actually has nothing attached to it that you can actually exchange for equal value. So in that same vein, you could actually take a little small portion. What we generally do with people, Dr. Baker, we look at like 5% of their total portfolio. And the 5% that is very underperforming, we show them alternative options to attach to physical assets that actually can derive dividends for them to be paid out on a quarterly.
But see what happens, though, as I jump in on you, is that the moment we say word portfolio, they get lost. Because now it sounds like we're Charles Schwab. And that's not the point of it. It's your portfolio is any level of the activity that you are participating in. So your 401k, which is a very obvious reality amongst most adults that work a W-2 job, or your IRA, well, that's a part of your portfolio, right? But they don't understand. Your money market account is actually a part of your portfolio. It may be underperforming significantly, but it's a part of your portfolio. And so we shouldn't be afraid of these things, just like we should not be afraid of international business. But we are, because there's no exposure. I would even say to those that have larger businesses, well, how do you play in those larger businesses? In future episodes, we're going to bring in some companies. I'm really excited about next week's guest who we have who literally is doing some massive business. And not to steal the thunder from next week, but I think I have to say this point, is that his company, although in a Northern Kentucky, Ohio-based business, has the only niche of the thing that they do in the country that they're in. They're a full-blown monopoly with no competition.
Wow.
You tell me how much money they're making.
Oh, that is awesome. You know,
right?
It's funny.
Is how do we look at business in these instances, whether it's from what we invest in, from how does the rest of the world affect us here domestically? All of these things are combined to say, how can I become a better business owner? See, as you, DJ the Money Coach, your teachings and your lifestyle is your business. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, sir. You're absolutely correct.
Right? You don't have a widget that you're selling to humans, and there's no building, per se, that they come and sit in and take this service. You take your business everywhere that you go.
That is absolutely correct. We are considered like nomadic business, you know, entrepreneurs, because our business has been online since 2015, and we've been in business, Dr. Baker, since 2002. So we're actually, you know, early adopters to technology, and that's one of the benefits of being in Africa, that a lot of these young millennials and Z Gen and everything, but after that, they actually travel around the globe getting life experiences. And they actually stay at destinations for 1 to 2 months at a time and making money on their smartphone and their laptop and their tablet. And these types of resorts that we actually are owning in Zanzibar are the perfect resort for them to come stay for a short-term stay, like a corporate stay, like you would do here in America. Like if you are a traveling nurse or an sales executive that got to go on assignment for a week or two, you stay in a corporate apartment, a corporate condominium that the corporation pays X amount of dollars over, you know, regular market value for you to stay there for a short period of time, and they make really good returns on their investments. So when you talked about the portfolio, then I want to share with your people about Africa and of itself. They have four tiers of actual demographics in Africa, which through the book Africa Rising had identified through a case study how Africa and Nigeria specifically will be the most populous country in the world by 2037. They will have more billions of people than China, than India combined. And through the lower three and four phase, Dr. Baker, there's multiple billions and trillions of dollars of consumerism that are happening at the very local and the very micro level, just like cell phone services, soft drinks, and things of that nature that a lot of people overlook, Dr. Baker. It's kind of like comparing a Section 8 tenant to a corporate tenant. Most people don't want to do Section 8, but Section 8 generates a whole bunch of high-end returns, but you look at a negative connotation as a consumer, but the business owner looks at a high revenue stream of income that a lot of people overlook. And in Africa Rising, they break down level 4 and level 3 that equates to almost 500 million Africans that are less than the age of 21 years of age. So just
I want to make a few points. I want to make a few points on what you said, because I don't want it to get lost. Let's say, for an example, you're dead wrong, and the book is dead wrong. You couldn't be more wrong about the numbers of people that are going to inhabit Nigeria in that time frame. But let's say, when I say you're wrong, like you're wrong by like 30%. that's still so many humans that you should probably pay attention to what does that look like for 2037, not to mention what are the barriers to entry. They're significantly lower in those areas than, let's say, Asia. And you don't just go to China and set up shop. You can't get that done. Right? They're not dealing with that. So in that case, and you say, well, how do you know? Because I'm opening an office in Singapore, and maybe the next 4.5 months, we had to push the time frame back. We thought we would have it open actually in July, but we had something that happened. But here's the point. Not only will I have a brick and mortar in Singapore, I have one in Manila, Philippines, and I know I can't just walk into China and do what I want. But number two, if my barrier to entry is less, there's going to be more people there. Well, if you're a business owner, which my show services all types of business owners. So once again, Fortune 100 down to the person that has an idea. I might consider, well, heck, I could develop in that country. And as I develop, I could have large market share or even a monopoly of a thing with the increase of these people that's over there. That's having a different mindset to an international business. You agree with that position?
Oh, you know what, Dr. Baker? You must have read the chapter in Africa Rising. It talks about those examples, how you can go over there and be a small fry and become the big fish in a small pond because the barriers to entry are less than everywhere else on the planet except for right now in Africa, and specifically in Zanzibar. The government has incentivized the foreign investor to come in to actually increase the GDP in Tanzania. So by us having our feet on the ground and being locked into a company that's been there for over 12 years and the largest developer, that gives us a competitive advantage by being first to market, which is what an early adopter is. And I would challenge your audience to go look at a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins and just read chapter 5 called The Hedgehog Concept, and then look at his predecessor to that called Built to Last. So I'm a studier of businesses and entry points that no other people can see. And there's a thing Dr. Baker called S-curve economics. And all this talks about is early adoption of technology. Only the wealthy and the privileged can do it. And then once they use it, the first 10%, they start to share it to the masses. And within 5 to 7 years, it equals general mass, which is 70% market penetration. And wealth is created by 100 to 200X. And then it falls off. So guess what? Right now in Zanzibar, at this resort, we are in the early adoption phase. We don't have hardly any barriers to do business. And now we will actually ride the crest of the S and create multi-level opportunities around ancillary events and products and services around the whole entire resort. So we're also going to own a concierge business there, Dr. Baker. We're going to own a transportation business, an excursion business, because in and around the peninsula, there's not a major commerce, meaning department store, grocery store, within 45 minutes of the actual resort in of itself. And since I already seen this video in America, Canada, and Mexico, I'm just going to reproduce it in Zanzibar, and we're going to make the opportunity available to everybody in your audience. If they want to chime in and get opportunity just to see what it's about, they can call us at 866-395-3042, 866-395-3042, or they can catch us on YouTube at DJ The Money Coach. That's all they got to look, and we will actually show them how simple it is to get involved in this beautiful luxury resort in Tanzania on Zanzibar, and it's considered to be two of the top 20 exotic destinations in the whole wide world, Dr. Baker. We're excited about this.
Well, there's a whole lot to be excited about. You know, I'm excited about going to see it with my own eyes and already having experience over in Africa and having experience in other countries. I recognize the principles that you're talking about. What I want the audience to take away from today is how do they view their business? How do they view international business? And if you're not able to take a look at what the world is doing and say, I want to jump in and participate, whether it's with this opportunity or any other opportunity, what I'm hoping is that we've awakened their minds to say, what in the heck am I thinking about? You know, you mentioned some books. Well, I've written 6 of them. 2 of them are textbooks. One's a bestseller. And that wasn't me stunting. That was just me telling the audience what I'm doing. But in this case, is that one of the books I wrote is How to Make Good Business Decisions. And in there, we're covering metacognition. What are you thinking about? You know, metacognition is the science of thinking of what you think about. I want the people to start thinking about their businesses differently and saying, do I have a local approach? Do I have an international approach? Am I benefiting from things that are happening internationally? Or what are some of the principles that work everywhere? I'll give you an example of what I mean here, DJ the Money Coach, is that the way I go about doing business is a tried and true method that's existed for centuries. So some people will say, well, Doc, I don't see you posting all the time. No, because posting's new. What I am good at is doing the same thing that's always worked for hundreds of years. I've mastered that portion of it. So what are we saying at this point is let's look at what systems, what processes, what concepts work everywhere, and maybe you should see your business in that light. So therefore, it increases your sustainability, or you eat up market share, or even better, you own a market. You know, if we started thinking as a business owner, how do I own a market? Now you're winning. You're not just playing in the game. You won the game. Wouldn't you agree with that point?
Oh, absolutely, Dr. Baker. And I've talked to our people. Our mantra is equity and ownership. Everything we do, Dr. Baker, equity and ownership, and create the market or own the market.
Yeah, it's one or the other. And a lot of times we think it's the startup principle, startup meaning that you came up with something that someone else has never come up with. So we feel like we have to invent the new wheel in order to do that. And the answer is no. You can actually do something that's very basic, but do it in a place where they don't really have it. And guess what? You can own the market in that way. Like, I invented the business hospital. I own this industry. A lot of people are still confused by it, but I'll tell you who are not confused are my patients. When they call us to help them, they fully understand that we don't do what consultants do. We don't do what business and life coaches do. I do something completely different, and it legitimately is business treatment. So the more patients we get, the bigger our market share gets. But then again, the more I own that section of the industry. It's no different than how we're looking at Zanzibar right now. You know, you talk about a pom-pom lifestyle. We only got a few moments, but what's a pom-pom lifestyle?
Oh, yeah, that's our number one mantra. That means plenty of money and peace of mind, Dr. Baker. And we always tell people, come join us on the beaches of the World Club. And the World Club this year is Zanzibar, baby. So when you have reoccurring expenses that meet your passive income that you derive from starting a business, take the top line dollar from business, buy real estate, and then leverage the tax laws. And once you double your reoccurring expenses for 6 months, you are free when you're consumer debt free. And that creates plenty of money and peace of mind. That's the pom-pom lifestyle. And that's what we're all about, Dr. Baker.
You know, I like that mantra. You know, it has a ring to it, you know, but plenty of money. It amazes me as to how we're always on that quest. When I say we, just as American people in our society, that we're always on the quest for more money as a general rule, but we are not doing the principles that it takes in order to encompass plenty of money. We know that most of the world's wealth is controlled by very, very few, or a portion of the few people of the population. Well, there's a way to reverse that, and that's by doing principles that allow you to get there. And I think lastly, which is phenomenal, is the peace of mind. Is how do we get peace of mind as a business owner? Whether you have a large company or you have a micro business, how do you get the peace of mind and know that what you're doing is valuable, it's significant, and it has a place in the market? That essentially is our show today. We'll catch you tomorrow. DJ the Money Coach, thank you so much for your participation. And we'll see everybody tomorrow, 2 o'clock, same channel, same bat place.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.